Because I believe that we are about to become somewhat public, both with regard to the possibility of various books and the radio show and other things, it's important that each of you understand what preaching is. And so we're going to spend some time studying preaching. Okay? Because, not all are preachers, but all are preachers sometimes. And unless you know what you're doing, unless you know what it is, you'll end up just trying to repeat some words you heard me say, and it'll go bloom. And if it goes bloom, then you just get embarrassed. Well, so anyway, let's go to Matthew 7. Oh, no wonder. I was looking at Luke 7. What I thought wasn't there.
Somebody gave me the Christmas tree edition.
You got Gary's Bible. Start in verse 24. No, we'll start in 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied or preached in thy name? And in thy name have cast out many demons, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So, just because you're preaching in his name, that's about as meaningful as preaching in a frog's name. It doesn't matter. Okay? Now, you got to understand then from whence cometh the preaching. Now, let's go to 1 John 4. Is this interesting to you, or do you want me to do something else?
No, this is timely.
Timely.
Yes.
1 John. 1 John 4.
Preaching.
Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now, 1 John 4, Louis can't find 1 John.
Oh, you said first.
I'm in the wrong place too.
That's what you were doing. That's what you get for copying.
Louis is Louis though. Louis is exhausted.
Okay.
I didn't know where we were either.
Okay, time to eat.
Time to eat, Louie.
I'm here.
Is everybody waiting for me?
Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now, and you understand that anything that communicates to your sensory perception from the spiritual standpoint is a spirit. Whether it's a tree or an ass speaking. Because everything in nature, everything of matter is just spirit slowed down. And so by definition then, John the Mystic sees things that communicate as spirit. So including preachers, preaching. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test or try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, you can't be a preacher without being a prophet. It's impossible.
I don't understand.
Okay.
It's an if-then thing, only in one direction, though, right? I mean,
yeah.
If you're a preacher, you're also a prophet.
No.
What?
If you're a prophet, it's the ministries that are set in the body, the offices. It's first apostle. Let's go there. Ephesians. Keep your finger in John. He won't mind.
Is Ephesians right before Romans?
No, Ephesians is right after Galatians. First and Second Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Chapter 4. Verse 11. And he gave...
Chapter
4.
I'm just going to listen. I'm just going to listen.
He's going to trust us.
Yeah.
Verse 11. Are you having a hard time, Matt? Are you having a hard
time?
This
day? Is a tough Bible to find this.
And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting, and that's that means what he's talking about is giving gifts. Let's go back. We got to go back. Verse 8, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill or fulfill all things. Now they're talking about the gifts. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, notice that it talks about, there's five things mentioned. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Okay? And the sum isn't referring to some, you know, it's not five different people. It's the sum refers to the gifts. You understand? So, the first thing that has to happen when a body is formed is there has to be an apostle. And this is ever, it's always been this way. An apostle is one who falls into the ground and dies at the expense of himself or herself. Okay? That same office from that will produce the next thing is preaching because people will come up. We're prophets. The prophet is the preacher. Now, the next, and it's some evangelist. Now, what is an evangelist?
That's what I was going to
ask. Okay. An evangelist is one, is the same office. As you go, the Great Commission that you've all heard about, if you're coming from Baptist stuff or any evangelical, go ye into all the world and make disciples, etc. That's in the passive voice, it's in the aorist tense, it means as you go into your world, make disciples of all men in your world. Well, that's the next thing that happens. It's a result of preaching. First apostle, then preaching, then evangelism. I mean, it's as natural as breathing. You believe, therefore you speak. You speak, therefore you're an evangelist. All this crap about, in the modern world about, well, some guy's an evangelist, some guy's a pastor, some guy's a teacher, some guy, that's not the way it works.
When someone is an evangelist, he is starting the process of people becoming disciples?
No. He can't be an evangelist until he was first
an apostle,
then a prophet or preacher, then an evangelist.
So it's a progression.
That's right.
Why does it read this way?
Well, because it's a mistranslation. But go look at any freshman Greek book, and it'll be clear that it's five offices set in the body. Now, every one, again, God doesn't care about what we care about. He cares about the body. Listen what it says. Well, let me go on. And some pastors and teachers. I mean, you can't be one without the other. You understand what I'm saying? You have to go through this process. The reason it is for the perfecting of the saints, that they can do the work of the ministry, and the work of the ministry is the edifying of the body of Christ. You understand? Everybody understand that? Okay, now go back to John.
What's the difference between pastors and teachers?
It's the same in the Greek. It's called this one tense. It's a word that just described. It's the same thing. You can't be one without the other. Now that's the problem with modern Christianity. They've got some teachers over here, and that's one person. And they've got a pastor over here, and he's another person. And they've got this over here, is another person, and this is another. You can't work that way.
So in every body, you'll have one person who has this fivefold ministry.
Well, no. The body, if it's to be a body, will have the fivefold ministry. Now, there may be how can I say this?
Well, as a believer, you're in different stages on the walk. Right?
Because you start and it's impossible.
Yeah. No, this is not that. This is what what we think of as preaching or teaching entails. It's these five offices or five phenomena. Okay? I don't want to talk about that. I just want to talk about preaching for a while. Okay, back to 1 John 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Okay? The Spirit of God, the Spirit of teaching, the spirit of preaching from God's standpoint declares one singular thing to you, that Jesus Christ is come in your flesh.
And that covers everything.
Okay? That's the test. Now, if you know who he is, by preaching you see him more and more. By tribulation you see him more and more. If you know who he is, then that's everything.
It seems that the linchpin of this is an apostle, i.e. a seed that has fallen into the ground and died. That everything flows from that.
Amen.
And it's not possible to confess that Jesus Christ is come until one has seen that one is dead.
Right. And therefore that's the meaning of the cross. But, I mean, there's a lot of good people that are talking, good people by our understanding, that are talking about all kinds of good stuff, God's religious good stuff, that don't conform and don't meet this test. This is the only test at this point. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And that's not the Antichrist will confess that he did come in the flesh and that he will come in the flesh, but he cannot confess that he is come in the flesh. That's why the idea of the confession of who Christ is in you, the hope of glory, is almost impossible to make, because your mind can't declare it. That's the revelation you saw the other night about Pentecost. When I said, as he is in the world, so are we. And just as in him there was a slow expanding of awareness of who he was, so the same is true in you. Okay? The test eventually gets very simple. Verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. in the world here? That's a pretty simple test. What is of the world? The world, the word world there is aeon, which means all the moral values, good or bad, all of anything that's confined to time and space. It's religion, no religion, morality, no morality, it's abortion, no abortion. I mean, there's no such thing as a right thing to talk about in the world, from God's standpoint. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, therefore the world hears them, therefore the world follows them. Why? Because they can't see the truth. Now, and this is the most arrogant statement in the Bible, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and spirit of error. Now, until that is so totally settled in your being that there's no shadow or turning, you can't preach. You can only mumble.
Wow.
That's real.
You know, I spend a lot of time, I know everybody else probably does too, is, you know, really whipping yourself because you think you should be speaking this stuff, you know, but eventually you know that you can't speak it if it's not tested in you.
Right.
In verse 1, that says, because many false prophets are gone out of the world. Is this one of the places where the word many means
almost all? But you look troubled. Okay. Contemplating.
This is good.
But you see how simple it is. Let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now, let's go to one other point, then we'll really get heavy.
Yeah.
Romans 15. Verse 16. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory, through Jesus Christ, in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, or in me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Now, to targum that, it means I am determined to speak of nothing until it's been worked out in me by Christ Jesus. And that's the process of waiting. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, etc., etc. The waiting for the working it out is the necessary step of preaching. Now, The way in which that takes place is you follow your own hunger. You trust that hunger that's been placed in you for whether or not you understand this or that, or pull this string or that string, that eventually in that working out your own hunger, you will work it out to a point where it's been wrought in you by Christ Jesus. Now therefore, it's not always good enough for you just to come here and sit and listen to somebody else speak. Okay? Now.
I'm sorry, it's not good enough to do that?
No, because if you have a hunger that's more voracious than what the food that you're fed here, then you have to eat someplace else. I mean, and you have to eat on your own. You have to sneak snacks.
Okay.
You have to you have to do what I did. All I've done since I've been a believer is followed my hunger, and I've pulled strings, you know, and I kept going until I found the end of the string, you know, and the people are amazed that I've spent so much time studying. Well, I mean, there's no glory in it. All I've done is followed my own hunger. If I wasn't as dumb as I am, then I would have believed without all that studying.
You just basically do what you want to do.
I do what I want to do. So that's what it means with regard to work, not to speak of it until it's been wrought in you by Christ Jesus. Okay?
You know, the business of waiting, lately I've been thinking about how people almost expect me, the people that know that I've been going to Bible study, almost expect me to preach at them because I'm going to Bible study now. Therefore, and it's gotten to the point where I almost expect that I should be preaching now. And it always sounded so odd for me to go to Bible study for years and then all of a sudden begin to speak.
Yeah.
You know? It's the Antichrist who can't wait.
Right. The Antichrist always takes one of the interesting functions of Satan is his only function in one real sense is to get you to take a shortcut. So that the mystery of the purpose of time and space isn't finished. The mystery of time and space is that you'd be fully tested in every arena. Satan always gets you to make a shortcut, so you're not tested in that arena. So therefore, what most people, a famous man who I've forgotten, but I'll remember probably when I say it, said the following, no one has ever rejected Jesus Christ. They've only rejected caricatures of him. And those caricatures are painted by believers who are speaking before the time. And so all they're able to speak is ego speak. And they use praise as punctuation marks, and they use memorized Bible verses as their justification. Doesn't work that way. What's that one quote from Blaise Pascal? Anytime a man begins loving his Christianity more than truth, he'll next love his sect more than Christianity, and he'll end in loving himself more than all. Okay? All that a believer is a truth seeker. But it's like one who's, you're in a treasure hunt, but you're guaranteed of finding the treasure. All right. Now, Luther says something interesting. Well, wait a minute. I can't do that yet. Now we got to go to Romans 10.
I'm reminded of Christ telling the disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait.
Yeah. Where should we start? Well, let's just read verse 17. That's the end result of preaching has to be faith. You understand that? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Period. So the end result of all preaching has to be faith.
Preaching for the people who are hearing it. I mean, faith for the people who are hearing the preaching.
Yeah. Now, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Famous, famous quotation.
Hearing by Christ?
The word for word of God there, most of the time, like in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what was God. The Word is the Greek word logos, which means the essence, or the onton, as Philo said, the reason for existence is the logos. And that's Christ, the Word made flesh. But this word here is the Greek word rhema. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the rhema of God. And the word rhema means in the English, it's the intimate spoken word. But it's not rhema if it hasn't been experienced in the person that's speaking it. So if I hadn't experienced what I'm talking about, then the word would have no power, and therefore it could not produce hearing, and therefore it could not produce faith.
Even if someone who had an experience had said the same exact word.
Exactly. If there could be two men saying exactly the same words, and one you would see it is with authority, and the other one would be as somebody's memorized scripture, or something they memorized. It's worm-eaten, corrupted manna of the mind. Doesn't matter how good the mind is and what the right words are, it's still manna of the mind because it hasn't been experienced in the being of the speaker. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. All right?
So discipleship is not a spectator sport.
No. You know, again, that classic thing that I've told you before about Christ is sitting with the disciples under an olive tree in Galilee near the lake, and this farmer walks by and he looks at him and he says, "What do you guys do?" Never mind, he had to be there.
I have an answer to that, but it's in that folder.
All right. Okay. Luther said, had a quote about preaching. He said, "Satan does not mind the written word, but he's put to flight whenever it is spoken aloud." Preaching surpasses all other callings among men. It's better to preach than it is to be emperor or president, and you have to know that. You have to have the arrogance to know that. There's nothing greater in this universe than being a preacher. Now, in Galatians, now we got to go look at Galatians for a minute. Galatians 1.
Romans,
1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians.
Gorillas.
Gorillas after Galatians. Starting in verse 6. "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel," or a different gospel, "which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed." Now the word there, "that you have received," Jesus Christ is the gospel. It's not good news. The word gospel is the Greek word which means good news. Good words, good news. But it's not good news to mankind. It's good news to God. It's bad news to mankind. It's bad news to all the dreams, ambitions, and activities of men, because it requires their death. I'm so sick and tired of hearing this modern crap that goes on in the name of Jesus that it says it's good news for man. And they've even started printing the Bibles there outside. It says good news for modern man. Right. It's bad news. We're talking bad.
Okay, only where it says for any angel from heaven. I mean, does that kind of exemplify the fact that we can't tell? Or,
well, it doesn't. I mean, the point is, though it be an angel, though it be Gabriel himself, and you know it's Gabriel, or though it be Billy Graham, or though it be President Reagan, or, you know, in other words, the credentials of the individual mean nothing. If it's a gospel other than that you've received, and the word "receive" there means it's the one that's in you, Jesus Christ in you. "Now, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Now therein is the line of demarcation. If I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. pretty heavy duty. Remember the thing I said the other night? You are they which justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination unto God. So you got to watch out when you're talking about pleasing men.
If you take that statement and this one, put those together, that brings up some pretty interesting thoughts about the person of Christ.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean?
Anything specific. If something's man pleasing, this sort of infers that it's not Christ pleasing.
Yeah.
And the other statement
doesn't even infer it. It says it's not. Doesn't say inferred at all. It says
infers it.
So the flip flop of that might be true, which is if it's pleasing to God, it's an abomination to man.
Yeah. That yeah.
Suddenly you start getting a little different picture. That
amen.
Smile. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life.
Yeah. Just now I was thinking about how real this is becoming for me and how you have this internal reality that has nothing to do with what you see. And I think about all the times that I've judged people who were, you know, believers in the past that were so into what they were doing. And for some reason I judged them. But, I mean, I could never see that perhaps for them it was that internal reality. You know, it's not visible.
Okay. Verse 11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, or from man, or derived from man, or derived from sincere man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's nothing I can teach you. And I didn't receive anything I've ever told you by reading a book or listening to some man talk. And I can't teach you this. I can only cause you to unlearn your stupid idolatry. And as that happens, the revelation of Christ by Christ in you is automatic. Amen? Okay. Now let's talk about attitudes a minute. Let's go to Jeremiah 20. After Isaiah. Before Ezekiel. Let's start in verse 7.
20?
Jeremiah 20. Now Jeremiah has just been in prison.
You like
this. I love this one. Jeremiah just got put in jail.
Oh, I found it. I'm keeping my finger on the thingy.
Okay, so Jeremiah's in jail. He's not very happy about being in jail. He said, O Lord, thou hast deceived me. I was fooled. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, and everyone mocketh me. Jeremiah was a preacher. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil. Because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I'm not going to talk about this shit anymore. I quit. No, I never said that. Right. I'm not going to speak this stuff anymore. God, you're arrogant. You're rotten. These people are idiots. You fooled me. I thought I was going to be really neat stuff, and all of a sudden everybody's dumping on me. I'm not going to talk about it ever again, ever, ever. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with resisting, and I could not anymore. Understand? You can't stop it if it's there. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watch for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous, and seest the reins of the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. Etc., etc., etc. Well, then, wait a minute, he goes on. Wait a minute. I forgot this part. But he's a little like a bouncing ball here. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of the evil doers. Okay, that's one sentence. Next sentence. Cursed be the day when I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought tidings to my father, saying, a man child is born unto you, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew and repented not. And let him hear the cry in the morning and the shouting at the noontide, because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave and her womb to be always great with me. Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my day should be consumed with shame.
And you think you got trouble.
Sounds like an abortion advocate there.
Yeah. What's troubling you, bud?
Yeah, what's getting you down?
Anti-choice.
Right, anti-choice.
Ask you why
you want and start with me.
That's it. I love James Robinson. He was a illegitimate child, and his mother was going to put him up for abortion. And so he used to do it. I think he's repented of it. But he gets on the stage, and he goes through this big thing about building it up about his mother was and all her agony about the decision of abortion, and she was going to be But praise God, she wasn't able to get the abortion.
Here I am.
Here I am.
Right.
All right. Now, 1 Corinthians 9.
This is real.
Okay. Chapter 9, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me. If I preach not the gospel. Okay? So now, you get a little better idea of what preaching is. Okay, now let's go to 2 Peter, verse 2. I mean, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Or is it 1 Peter? Wait a minute.
False teacher.
Hmm?
False teacher.
No. We'll go into that later. Now, the other point then, let's go to Matthew 7. And then we'll... We read 7, 21, 22, and 23. Now let's pick it up there. Verse 24. Matthew 7, verse 24. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Okay, we're going to do a little thingy. I'm going to teach you the verses of the Bible. You have to memorize them or you can't get in the door.
Or you have to pull.
Or you have to pull 15 weeds out of the fucking ajuga.
So you did it again.
What?
Fucking.
Now you did it again.
It was your fault.
I baited you.
That's right.
You brought up the Injuga.
I'm a bastard.
Wherefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will like him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, this is now all of the Beatitudes, these are finally over. This is the end saying of the Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, that people were astonished at his doctrine, or his teaching, or his preaching. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Now that same authority, the exact same authority that Christ possessed, has to be possessed by the teacher, or the preacher, or preaching, or it's not preaching. It's sitting around talking about Jesus, and you're thinking it's fellowship. And thinking, well, I think this means this. I mean, people, when they first started coming here, could not believe this Bible study. Because I didn't permit anybody to sit around and talk about, well, I think this means this. I said, this is what it means. If you don't like it, get the hell out of here.
It didn't make this Bible study different.
What? Oh, yeah, you were there. Yeah. That's right.
It made this Bible study different than other Bible studies.
Like there should have been a ring around the room and a bell. Ding!
He always wanted you to leave from the very first. Pete back then. He never wanted people. I kept thinking, what would you do? Sit in this office by yourself? You scream us all out of the room.
I don't do that as much anymore.
No, you don't. You still do it.
Okay, but it must be communicated by an objective and authoritative revelation, not your personal experience. Your personal experience sucks. My personal experience sucks. Unless it's tested against something that God has provided, which He has, thankfully, Torah. I mean, it would be absolutely meaningless if I started talking to you about, you know, how I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know, I mean, that's meaningless. And the fact that I was taken out of time and talked to you, I hardly ever talk to you about that. I don't care about that.
So there's a big difference between personal experience and that which has been worked out.
Amen. It has to be worked out. Part of the working out process is that there is no scripture in the Bible, whole Bible, or no individual situation for which it doesn't meet the need. If there's a scripture in the Bible that doesn't conform to the doctrine, then I'll throw the whole thing out. And that's what you must do.
Even then, in reference to that which has been worked out in me, I'm determined to speak of nothing except that which has been worked out in me. What you just said is like the big picture rather than a particular.
Oh, yeah. That's why I didn't speak for 5 years.
Now,
Well, I didn't know that's what I was doing. Yeah. I was just saying I didn't want to teach.
No, my question is that sort of...
Still I want to teach.
Is that the way it is?
What?
Is that the way it is?
I don't know. It was the way it was for me. Where? I didn't have the luxury of having a body. See, I didn't have the luxury of having people I could bounce things off of.
Whenever I heard Paul say that, I thought he was talking about, I'm determined to not talk about this until it's been worked out. This being a particular thing.
No, that's not what it means.
Or personal experience.
No. It means big picture.
Perfect understanding from the very beginning.
Right.
It means
the big picture. The big picture.
So what you're saying is if there's one little iota of the Bible that doesn't
line up with
line up with what you went through. Is that what you're saying?
No. With why not line up with what I preach?
Oh, okay.
What the doctrine is, what the doctrine into which we have been delivered.
It's like, too, if you don't...
That's why Doug used to call me the Amarillo Slim of Christianity.
Why? Because it seemed like you could make everything work together?
Or? No, that I was betting everything on the fact that...
That what you believed?
Yeah.
If you don't see the big picture, you don't see
it. No, you don't see the little picture.
Yeah.
So without the latter rain, without the clear, perfect understanding, then preaching, a man who preaches without that, it's like will preaching.
Yeah, it's will worship. Will and worship. He forces, if it's preaching of the will, then it produces only worship of the will.
And it's a logical kind of thing.
Right. And therefore you can make a decision to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. You can decide to go to the church of your choice. Have you ever heard of a more dumb statement than that? Think about it. In America we have the freedom to go to the church of your choice. So you go to the church of your choice and expect to be moved by God. I mean, do you understand the subtlety? It's a contradiction in terms. I mean, any of you would be damn fools to choose to come here.
This is true.
Yeah. You'd have to agree that quickly.
Well, no, I was just thinking, because when I was in Seattle, the one thing, one of our conversations on the phone, you said, I cannot choose, it was either you or Doug. Who said, I cannot choose the ground that I fall into.
Man.
It's just, and for that reason, I mean, if there had been ground that I could have fallen into in Seattle, you bet your ass I'd have gone there before I'd have come here. Because, I mean, I didn't want to lose all that.
Right.
Yeah.
But there wasn't.
So he's saying, I'm determined to speak of no thing until...
Jesus Christ has been worked out in me.
Worked out, revealed, clear in me. I will speak of no thing.
Just see myself using that as license not to.
Well, I mean, it's not a thing that, I mean, it's just the idea of eternity, it's better, it's like in the spirit, you gotta be saved.
Yeah, I'm gonna
right?
Take the law.
No, I know what you're saying, but look, you gotta be, if you're gonna err on the right side. In the spirit, if you're gonna err of pushing people away, get out of here. If you're gonna err, and it's exactly the opposite of what man would do, man wants to get. Or if you're going to err in the spirit, err in the area of silence rather than the area of talking. And that's exactly what opposite of what the world wants you to do. And in your mind, well, I should speak. Well, you know you shouldn't. You should shut up.
Well, the Jeremiah thing sort of backs that up, because if it's of God and you try to shut your mouth up, you won't be able to keep it.
Right. Yeah. I don't know if this is my second to the last or the last. My two last talks I gave at a Bible college here. One of them is I took a Bible and burned it up to show that it wasn't the Word of God, that it was just words about the Word. There's 1,500 rabid students in the audience. But the other one was this whole group of people was getting ready.
It's great.
They used to be weird.
That's so militant, Ollie.
Did you just say? I used to be weird.
Right.
I caught that too there.
Well, anyway, either the time before that or the time after, I think the burning one was the last time they invited me.
We're glad you're not weird anymore.
Yes.
The one before that then was they were going to go during Mardi Gras. They were going to go evangelize the Cajuns.
Yeah, good luck.
No, but they were going to New Orleans. For Mardi Gras, and they were going to be a contrast, and these are people who had been in this Bible school for like 6 months, right? Mm-hmm. And they were going to be a contrast to the decadence on the streets during the Mardi Gras celebration. And they had this big plan, and they had a rally, and they asked me to speak at it. I told them to stay home.
It'd be weird.
And so see, John Garlock was on our board of directors, and he was the director of the school out there, Crestwood Nations.
No longer with that school.
And he's no longer, yeah, he is. He still teaches, but he's no longer on our board of directors. But anyway, it was fun.
Were there like hisses from the audience when you said that?
Oh, there's just total Shock. Gary Buckner was one of the students there. He was in the audience.
He went, didn't he?
Yeah?
He went to
Yeah, he went.
Got drunk?
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. No, not Gary. Okay, then, as I said, the end result of preaching, it has to be with authority. Otherwise, and if you don't know you have the authority, then you can't preach. Now let's go to John 7. Okay. John 7, verse 25. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, or from Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Now, the idea there is, it's the same thing that's repeated over and over and over and over and over in the book of Acts. Is that in spite of a death sentence on Christ, he was in Jerusalem speaking boldly. Now sometimes he went and hid. But, I mean, it's either one of those two. It's either hiding out or speaking boldly. It's never in the middle.
So like either underground or...
Yeah. Boom. Yeah.
Never says anything about Christ muttering.
Christ didn't mutter very much.
I was reading the book of Acts last night. It was really great. When I don't remember, it was Paul and somebody go to speak, and they just beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And then they find out. He goes, uh-oh, they're Romans. it was a whole different trip. It's like, oh, no. And then Paul calmly, he spoke again, and then he left. And they shook their feet.
Yeah, shook the dust off.
Shook the dust off their feet. It's like, oh, God, I can't believe we beat him up.
Okay. Now, Galatians 6. We're about through. I'm getting hungry, so we're going to speed this up. I didn't care when you were hungry.
That's pretty warm.
Yeah, warm.
Galatians 6. This one's kind of shocking. Verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now, if you ever want to change anybody outwardly to make a fair show in the flesh, you're not preaching. No matter what the situation is.
Can you give an example?
Well, I mean, obviously, yeah, I can give you thousands. I can remember each one of you thousands of times. I mean, if there's something you're doing that I'm convinced is harmful to you both spiritually and I don't care what you're doing, but I want you to know what you're doing. I don't care whether or not, you look weird or dress in stupid Hawaiian shirts or, your hair looks like you just got out of the swimming pool. Or
just know what you're doing, right?
No. My point is, it doesn't matter. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they'll constrain you to change. That's what circumcision means in the spirit. It means to stop doing something or be different.
Who are you referring to in the hair out of the swimming pool, Craig?
He mentioned it to me when I walked in.
Probably me.
As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Therefore, the reverse is also true. Part of the persecution of the cross of Christ is me having to put up with you.
Vice versa.
Yeah.
Amen.
And vice versa.
Amen.
Bearing the cross patiently.
No, it's not the cross, it's the persecution for the cross. What? I certainly wouldn't choose any of you.
We'd all be spelt.
Okay.
We'd all be women.
That's a good point. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. Now here's the essence of preaching. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. It's a two-way street. That's why the preaching of the cross is all there is. You understand? Now let's go to 1 Corinthians.
Is this? I'm always wondering what scriptures convey the fact that the world is just all dead and on fire and all that. Is this one of those?
That's one of them.
Where are we going?
Jude is another one. 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. Verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Now, the word which are saved there is in a tense in the Greek which says, unto us which are being saved. Salvation is a process. And the preaching of the cross is the efficacy of that process. Unto us which are being saved, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Okay? Now it goes on down a little bit. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Okay, one more place. Philippians 3.
It says here the foolishness of preaching saved them that believe. It seems like it's backwards. Well,
No. Remember when Israel was taken out of Egypt? Mm-hmm. You know, it's after they were saved, then they believed.
Okay, that makes sense.
After they were saved from the Pharaoh?
From the flood and the Pharaoh and the armies, then they believed.
It's kind of like feeding people first.
Yeah. Philippians 3, verse 18. Well, verse 17. I always hate this one. Brethren, be followers together with me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk, if I have two. Of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And notice, it's, as I've said so often, they're not enemies of Christ. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly or their appetites, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. What we learned earlier. They speak of the world, therefore the world heareth them. You know, how to? And here's the final coup de grace about preaching. If you can accomplish anything that I tell you, it is not preaching, because it doesn't require faith. If you can accomplish anything that I tell you, it is not preaching, because it doesn't produce or require faith. It's something that the strength of the flesh can do. And that one gets to you. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go eat.